proper. But whenever we used to do that song way down in Cork, we're going to do it again, Gary, so don't worry. You can put it back up again. But whenever we were down in Cork, we used to teach them all different things. So you see that writing in red, all right? Now, I don't know if you're watching the Champions League last night or not. Don't you fall. I'll be just... That's my grandson. I wonder who he was. I'm not as nervous now. All right. So, not that I wouldn't want anything to happen to him either. But see, whenever we get to that red writing, see, we get to salvation. First of all, we don't get to heaven without, and we shout, salvation. Can we hear that up here? Right after two. One, two. Salvation. Now, can we make it a wee bit louder than that? All right. After two. One, two. Salvation. So when we're singing along, you get to the words. I'm teaching them how to preach here. So whenever we're singing it through, I want to hear the congregation shout, salvation. And then you're watching, some of you might have been watching that boring Champions League match last night, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, and something happened, I think Real Madrid won, 4-1, was that right? And I'm sure whoever supports Real Madrid or Atletico Madrid, whenever they scored a goal, was, I don't know what to do, yippee or yo or whatever it is, all right? So what I want you to do is whenever we get to that red writing, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N, we shout salvation, and then we spell S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Will we try that? If I see somebody down there not doing it, you're coming up here beside me, all right? All right. Now, let's go. After two. One, two. Salvation. Will the half of the congregation please come up here? Try it one more time. After two. One, two. Salvation. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. And you know, they're running around last night shouting about a goal that they'd scored, and you think they'd won, I don't know, maybe they won £1 million for scoring the goal. But listen, salvation is eternal life. And you will never gain or get anything better other than God's salvation. Will we try this? Be warned, if you don't do the actions, I can see you, or I'm not going to do it. See how we get on. Thank you very much. Seats, and I think you should give them a round of applause.
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endured to all generations.
well done, Rebecca, and all the rest. Excuse me, Freya. Well, we're going to praise God now for friends, and some of the older children have been doing adverts for their perfect friends. If you want to come up, okay, those of you who have them with you, some come to this side. Good. If you go over here. So, I have it here. The light's on. I'll shout. Now, Samuel, what would your perfect friend be like?
Good at football, supports Man United, funny.
Oh, as long as he supports Man United and is funny. Very good. And what about you, Olivia? What would your perfect friend be like?
Happy, kind, caring, helpful, funny, positive.
Brilliant. Nice, positive friend. Good. And what about you, Olivia?
Humorous, kind, fun, caring, helpful, and likes animals.
Likes animals, like you. Very good. And what about you, Kate?
Kind, helpful, fun, caring, fantastic, loves animals, and loves Manchester United.
Your family loves Man United too, do they? And what about Danielle?
Kind, helpful, funny, caring, loves God, be a Christian, a good friend and loving.
Brilliant. Well, that's quite a tall order, some of those adverts for the friends. I wonder, are any of us always like that, the perfect friend? What do you think? Hands up, who thinks they're always the perfect friend? Oh, I don't. Well, we're going to sing now a song about someone who is the perfect friend. Does anybody know who he is? Freya's going to help us sing. Who are you singing about, Freya? Jesus, very good. So if you all go back into your places.
Hello, are you listening? Why are you not listening to me? Don't you want to be my friend anymore?
In a world so consumed by technology and busyness, it can be difficult to make time and listen to our friend. This hurts them and can end up making us feel very lonely. The Bible teaches us how we can be good friends and love one another. God wants to be our friend. He is the friend who will listen to all our cares and woes and never let us down. Have you ever tried to talk to him?
Okay, very good.
This morning we were learning about the wise man and the foolish man. And we were learning about how God wants his word to go from your head away down to your toes. And only when it does that are you really somebody who's wise. Now we're going to think this evening about somebody who was wise and somebody who was a little bit silly too. I need a helper. Is there anyone who would help me? Would you come up and help me? Great. Come on up here. Now, in order to help me in this story, we're going to have to make you look. You come round the front. We're going to have to make you look like the person in the story. So let's dress them up a little bit. I've got a great big thing to put on you here. Because this story happened a long, long time ago in a country far away. Now, can you put your hand down that big sleeve and down that big sleeve? Now, and we'll tie a big belt around them to keep it all on. Now, he doesn't look... What is your name?
Samuel.
We're going to give you a new name for the story. Your name is going to be David. And you're just not quite like David yet, because in those days, men wore funny hats. And we're going to put a funny hat on you. Now, let's try and see if we can put this on to hold your hat on. Now, you have a special job in the story. You were a shepherd, so I'm giving you a big stick. Now, if you come up forward a little bit, I'm going to say something to you. I'm going to ask you a question. And every time I ask you this question, you're going to give me the same answer, okay? So here's the answer you're going to give. Hold up your stick. Yeah? Just hold it. Don't hit me. Hold it up like that. And put this hand on your hip. Now, can you put one foot in front of the other foot? Can you give a little wiggle? And can you say, I'm not afraid? Good, good. So every time I say to you in the story, David, what do you think of that? You're going to say, I'm not afraid. Can you do that?
I'm not afraid.
Good. Now, every time in the story, I say to all of you people out there, why was he not afraid? You're going to put your hand up and say, God was with him. Okay? Why was he not afraid? Okay. Now, our story happened a long, long time ago when there was a king in those days, and the king's name was Saul. Now, Saul was a bit of a silly man. He was foolish. He heard God's word, but it didn't go all the way down to his toes. He didn't fully obey. And so God decided that Saul shouldn't be king anymore. And God left him. Now that's a very sad thing, isn't it? When God stops speaking to you because you don't listen to him. And that's what happened to Saul. And Saul still tried on to be king. And there were lots of things that happened. And he tried his best and he tried his best. Now, in our story, we've got to the point where Saul is the king, and there's a big army facing them. And this army was the Philistines. And amongst the Philistines, there was a huge, big giant, and his name was Goliath. Now, Saul couldn't hear God speaking, and he knew the giant was much bigger than him, and he had no answer to the situation. And you know that happens when you're not listening to God, you don't have an answer when the problems of life come. But there was another little boy in the story, and his name was David. And David was a little shepherd boy. And one day David's daddy came to him and he said, David, Do you know your brothers? They're way up there with King Saul fighting in that battle against the Philistines. I want you to go and see them. What do you think of that? He's not afraid. It's a long journey to where he has to go to. Why was he not afraid? That's right. And so his father gave him all of the provisions and the donkey and off set David to the battle. Now, when he got to the battle, he was standing talking to some of the people at the battle when all of a sudden up stepped this big giant. And the big giant said, "Hey, all you Israelites down there, why doesn't one of you come up here and fight me? And if you win, we'll all be your slaves. But if I win, you have to be our slaves." Somebody's standing next to David and they said, "David, what do you think of that?" He's not afraid. Why was he not afraid? Now David's brother heard what David said. "David, did you not see how big that giant was? Did you not see his huge muscles and his big sword and all the rest of it? David, what did you think of that?" He's not afraid. So somebody went and told the king. Now here was sitting King Saul. He didn't know what to do. This battle was way beyond him. And he looked at David and he said, "But David, you're so little and that giant is so big. You're only young. What do you think of that?" Why was he not afraid? But Saul didn't realize that. All he could see was a little boy and a big giant. "Well, David, do you really think you could go and fight this battle?" And David told the king, "This battle is God's battle, and God is going to be on our side. I'm ready to go and fight this giant." And so Saul gave him his big, big, heavy sword and his big, big, heavy shield and said, "Right, David, what do you think of that? You're not afraid. You mean you don't need the sword or shield?" David said, "No, I'm not used to the fighting with those." And he threw it all away. And instead, he took his staff and he went down and he got 5 stones from the brook. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he headed off to where the giant was. And here stood Goliath looking. "Ha! You're sending a tiny little boy out to fight me. Look how big I am and how little you are. What do you think of that?" Why was he not afraid? "Hey, you're coming out with me with a stick. Do you think I'm a dog? I'm going to take you and feed your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. What do you think of that?" Why was he not afraid? You see, the giant couldn't see it. He couldn't see it that behind little David was the great big God who made all of the universe. And no giant was a match against that kind of a God, was he? Now, David looked up at the giant and he said, "I'm going to take your flesh and feed it to the birds and the wild animals so that you know there is a God in heaven. The battle is the Lord's and everybody here is going to see it, that God is with us." And by this time, the giant was so angry, he picked up his sword and he started to run at David. David grabbed the sling, put in the stone, round and round and round, up and up went the stone, hit the Goliath on top of the head, and he fell down dead. Okay, a wee thanks for our friend. Thank you very much. Now, David was like a friend of God, wasn't he? He knew God and he followed God, and God was with him. And when he faced a very difficult situation, he knew that beyond the shadow of a doubt, God was with him. And you know, as David was growing up, he wrote a song about it, and it said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He knew that God would be able to give him everything he needed. And you know, as he went on and he grew up, Saul realized that God was with him. And Saul brought David to live with him in the palace. And when he came to live in the palace, Saul started to watch him. Now remember, God wasn't speaking to Saul, but God was with David. And David started to go out and fight with the army and win all sorts of battles. And do you know what happened? Saul got very, very jealous. And one day he even picked up a big spear and he threw it at David. And you see, David, when he saw that, it was like another giant he was facing. The giant of fear. How was he going to survive? The king was after him now. And you know, David had to leave the palace. And he had to go away out and try and find somewhere to live. And do you know what the Bible even tells us? The Bible tells us in one of the Psalms that David wrote, "When my father and my mother cast me off, the Lord will take me up." You see, that teaches us something, that maybe David wasn't even able to go back home because he had two brothers who were fighting in the army against Saul. And maybe his parents were a bit scared and they didn't want David coming home because it would make them a target of Saul as well. And so here was this big giant called fear, so, so big. But when you see a big giant like that, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? "I'm not afraid." And why are you not afraid? God is with us. So when the giant of fear comes, who's going to come and... Okay, come on up. And when the giant of fear comes, and he'll come lots of times to you maybe and try to make you afraid. But if you belong to the Lord Jesus, you can take, just like David, and throw it at the giant. Let's see if you can get him down. Whoa! The giant is gone. The giant called fear. But you know, there was another giant. Do you want to stay up here and help me again? There was another giant that came. You see, when David was running away from Saul, one day he hid in a cave. And when he hid in this cave, right at the very back of the cave, Saul came after him with 3,000 men. What was David going to do? And you know, when they were waiting in the back of the cave, Saul came into the cave and he lay down on the floor and he was having a rest. And David's men said to him, "David, this is your chance. Look at all those things Saul has done to you. You can get him back. Take your sword and go and kill him." You see, this was the giant of revenge. And sometimes we face this giant too. Sometimes there's a little voice says, "Get her back. Look what she did. Get him back. Look what he did." And David snuck out And he lifted up a little bit of Saul's garment and he cut it off with his sword. And then suddenly he heard God's voice. And God's voice said to him, no, that's not the way. Not to take revenge, because Saul was anointed by God. And God alone is the judge, and you can trust him to sort the whole situation out. Because it's only God that knows all the things in the story. God alone is the judge. And so David came against the giant of revenge who said, get him back! What did David do? He took the word of God. Whoa! And he got the giant down. And do you know there were lots and lots of other giants that David faced? And there's lots and lots of giants that you will face. Because when you follow Jesus, it is a war. It is a war. But Jesus will be with you. When there's something that's going to try and trip you up and a big giant comes to make you afraid or do something that's wrong, what do you think of that?
I'm not afraid.
And why are you not afraid?
Because.
You remember that. Thank you.
Let's pray. We pray, Father, that you will be glorified in every heart and in every life, that you will find an open door. And Lord, we've already said, speak to us. Now thank you for speaking to us. And we pray, O God, that that response of our hearts will be, we will follow. Whatever you ask, we will do it. And we pray that you will be glorified in every life. Now part us in your fear and with your blessing. And bring us each one to our homes in safety, thanking you once again, Lord, that you would communicate to us, mere children of men. We thank you that you're a God of love, grace, and mercy, and we thank you tonight we can avail of it.
In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.